We want the power for the people. That's all we ask in our country, dear. The sick and the hungry are unable. Protect them and those who may live in fear.
Joining us now is Josh Tickell and Rebecca Harrell Tickell, who are the director and producer of the new film Freedom. Their film Fuel won the 2008 Sundance Film Festival Audience Award for Best Documentary. Josh Tickell has published two books on sustainable energy, From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank, The Complete Guide to Using Vegetable Oil as an Alternative Fuel, and Biodiesel America. Rebecca Harrell Tickell is the author of Hot, Rich and Green, The Secret Formula Women Are Using to Get Rich and Save the Planet. Welcome to Background Briefing, Josh Tickell and Rebecca Harrell Tickell.
Thank you
for having us.
And the film that you've made is really quite extraordinary. And I was stunned to learn that, I guess to some extent I've been a victim of the misinformation campaign in terms of biofuels, particularly about ethanol. It's been a very effective campaign to discredit ethanol, particularly amongst the environmental movement. And I was astounded to learn that there's a complete historical analogy here that Henry Ford, who grew up on a farm, knew about making ethanol, and apparently it was quite common in those days, used for all kinds of things on the farm, not to mention alcohol to consume. And when he created the Model T, he also created a huge ethanol refinery that it became a massive part of the fuel for Model Ts. And what killed off that fuel was Prohibition, which I had no idea that Prohibition was in large part funded by Rockefeller, who was quite a religious person. But really, his real motivation in apparently the Prohibition language of the bill that prohibited alcohol was specifically to shut down alcohol as a fuel for cars. And it's not difficult to assume that the pious Rockefeller was actually more concerned not about American sobriety, but about getting rid of a rival fuel to petroleum. Am I correct?
That's correct. And really, Standard Oil's sort of co-opting of the women's temperance movement was the first example of an oil company co-opting a religious or social organization as a front for their agenda. And that's the modus operandi that we see the oil industry using continuously for the past 150 years up till today, where the threat of a fuel that is grown on American soil, that's controlled by American people, that's cleaner for the air, and that's cheaper would certainly inspire the same sort of behavior from the oil companies, which it in fact did and has inspired recently. And instead of co-opting the religious movement, they just co-opted the environmental movement.
And Rebecca, the campaign has been quite thorough because it's become a kind of truism, at least an accepted truth, that the high price of food has everything to do with the high price of corn, because corn ethanol is forcing up the price of food. And your film, Freedom, makes it incredibly clear, one, that the corn used for ethanol is completely inedible, and two, I was going to talk to Senator Bernie Sanders about this in early next week. I just talked to him today. He's been looking into what's been gaming the price of food and gasoline on the commodities market. And now they have evidence, which is a lot of people were suspicious for a long time, that the market was being gamed. And indeed, that Morgan Stanley and the other Goldman Sachs have been really, inflating that market, and to the extent that they're the world's biggest holders of oil there for a while. So it seems to me that this is a huge story. Now, why is it, do you think that the press are picking up on it? Is it because they were had?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've all kind of been had. Yeah, it's a complicated thing to really understand, but to make it simple, you know, making fuel from a byproduct of corn has nothing to do with the amount of food that's available to people. What people don't realize is it's only a fraction of the cost of our food that is actually going to the actual cost of the food itself. So the majority of what we're paying when we buy something that's corn-based is not for the corn. It's for the petroleum that is used to ship the corn. It's for the packaging. It's for the shipping. You know, there's even oil that's used in the process of making the food. So they spray it with pesticides. They grow it in fertilizer that's petroleum-based. So when the cost of oil goes up, so does the cost of food around the world. But it was a really brilliant idea to say, oh, well, the reason why the cost of food went up was because they're taking so much of it and they're making fuel from it. But that's just not the case, and we proved that in the Freedom film.
So what do you think is going on here, Josh, in terms of, I thought that there was a political constituency for ethanol, you know, not the least of which Iowa is the first state, and all the politicians are up there making all kinds of promises. So how did they manage to eviscerate the industry so much with this propaganda campaign, and what's keeping it going?
What's keeping it going is essentially the $1 billion a day that we spend importing oil into the U.S., and the $1 billion a day approximately, in addition to that, that we spend subsidizing oil. So in essence, we are keeping it going. We're funding the campaign. And what most people don't realize is this is almost half the GDP of the United States. So we're embroiled in these conversations about debt ceilings and rising stock commodities prices. All of it is essentially tied to our own stupidity. You know, we are essentially bludgeoning ourselves with a blunt object on a daily basis and wondering repeatedly in political conversations and TV conversations. I mean, just listen to the media, listen to the conversations. You know, people go, why can't we get off of oil? Well, it's because you're feeding the beast. And the only way to get off of oil is to stop feeding the beast. And this is like such a simple, painfully simple conversation. But for some reason, we are involved in a self-perpetuating cycle. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. We go to the gas station, we pay for oil. The oil industry creates propaganda, which makes us believe that any substitution for oil is actually worse than oil. So we keep paying for oil, so the economy collapses, and so we're left wondering why the economy is collapsing. And it really boils down to, fundamentally, we have become a society that is so divorced from the resources that we use on a daily basis that we'll believe anything. We will literally believe anything. And so when the American people are told, well, the price of non-food corn that isn't fed to humans, 30% of which is returned back into protein to feed to animals, that's made into ethanol, is pushing up your food prices, when they're told that, they believe it. And they believe it lock, stock, and barrel. So it's A, no wonder that we can't get off of the oil fix. We are feeding the machine that is feeding us lies. And B, it's no wonder that the media and the government and the public are in lockstep supporting an industry that's destroying the bottom line of America. And the most threatening thing to oil, the most threatening thing, is that we would have, let's say, 1 to 5%, a tiny margin of the American consumers take the cars that they drive off of oil. They know, the oil industry knows you're not going to do it with electric cars, because the changeover to electric cars is 10 to 25 to 35 years, depending on where we get the lithium. So the reality is the oil industry is in control. And unless we do something radical, like support an unpopular idea, like taking crops that farmers grow that are not used for food and turning them into fuel, and taking a radical minority, not even a majority, just a radical minority of people, and using that fuel in their cars instead of oil, there will be no change. You can expect that the next generation of your Prius will be fueled on coal and oil and nuclear. And you will continue to wonder why nothing changes. And the answer is, you're putting it in your gas tank.
But that's not to say that people aren't taking a stand. I just spoke yesterday with Bill McKibben, who spent last weekend in jail. He's protesting in front of the White House because there's a plan to build a pipeline from the tar sands of Alberta to refineries in Texas that would cross the United States carrying this thick, viscous tar sand, which already has created a nightmarish Mordor-like scene up there in Alberta, because the amounts of water it takes to separate the sand from the tar creates huge ponds of polluted water, and then they create then they have to heat the oil with natural gas, and then they're going to pump it all the way down, and it's the highest concentration of carbon there is. And the former chief scientist for NASA, Jim Hansen, says if that stuff gets on the market, it's game over for the environment. And then in your film, you go through the whole BP nightmare scenario, and you grew up in that part of the world down there on the Louisiana coast, Josh. So it's not as if there's not, you know, extenuating evidence out there. But so what explains how gullible people are when here we have a homegrown alternative to gasoline that's perfectly viable, that works well, that can be made cheaper, and it's less polluting. And it started to take off, and the oil companies, through their political connections and through their sway in the media, managed to pull off a bait and switch. I mean, nobody likes them. So I'm astounded by this disconnect.
Well, it's amazing the lengths that they will go to create the feeling of security for American consumers. Look at any of the major publications that are writing or that wrote about the fuel versus food debate. They all cited two studies. Both of those studies were done by essentially paid advertisers. One was by a lawyer who had deep connections to the coal industry. The other one was by a bug doctor, an entomologist, who won't publish the sources of funding for his papers. He's a tenured professor at Cornell. So the oil industry is very insidious in the way that it works, to the point where there's a whole program of how to install fuel pumps at gas stations. Fuel pumps are actually designed to look like ATM machines. So there's a psychology that goes behind it. There's a pseudoscience, a paid-for science that goes behind it. And then there's the oil industry is so smart that they know what the environmental movement is going to do. Like the whole protesting about the Keystone XL pipeline. It's a shocking thing that we even have to protest this. It's a shocking thing we'd even allow this thing to be built. But the reality is, California is the largest consumer of oil in the United States. We already get oil from the tar sands in Canada. It's already happening. So, Bill McKibben is a huge hero of mine. He's a brilliant person. But as much as they are protesting in D.C. against the Keystone XL pipeline, people are still filling up their cars in California today. So, this is why the oil companies have traditionally won, because the environmental movement hasn't actually taken a stand for something. They know. They'll keep standing against. They'll stand against the tar sands. They'll stand against MTBE. But just as easily as they'll stand against those things, they will not stand up for anything. And the oil companies know. You only have one choice at the gas station. As long as you only have one choice, you have no freedom. And that's the game. That's how it's played. It's played psychologically. It's played in the magazines, in the front, huge full-page color, full bleed ad that Texaco and Exxon take out that say, we're doing great things for the environment. It's played out in D.C. where politicians and environmentalists alike will say, no, 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 we don't need this oil, it's bad. And then they get in their cars and they drive home. Mm-hmm. So it's a complete hypocrisy for anyone to say, this is bad or this is wrong or we're not going to do it or we're actually standing up for oil. As long as you're driving on oil, you're doing the one thing they need you to do to win. And that's the psychology. They know that unless you change your behavior and you actually change your money, that, plenty of people who are listening to this program right now are driving their cars. Those cars are filled with gasoline. We have almost as many cars in the U.S. as people. So the great thing about this conversation, the great thing about what KPFK is doing, letting us talk about this film, and the great thing about the Freedom Film is we're breaking it up. It's an uncomfortable subject because no one wants to take responsibility. But what if we could turn it around and say, not only can you take responsibility, you can drive cheaper, you can save $200 to $500 a year off your gas bill, you can support American farmers who today are growing a lot of corn. They're growing corn because we in the United States demand a lot of beef and we demand a lot of corn syrup. Not that those are good things, but that's, again, what we're voting for with our dollars. Those same farmers are willing to switch to hemp. They're willing to switch to other crops. And all of that would be inside of Americans empowering themselves, getting back to our roots, and getting clear on where we actually get our stuff. Because we were clear that our stuff, our oil, is coming from the Gulf of Mexico and the Alberta tar sands, and people really got the impact of their decision, and they were standing at the pump, and they said, do I want it from the tar sands? Do I want it from the toxified Gulf of Mexico, where BP lied to the American people and destroyed up to 4 million people's livelihoods forever? Or do I want it from the Midwest, where I can actually meet the person who's making this, have a conversation, and learn that the propaganda that I've been fed isn't true, and that, in fact, I'm putting money back into our economy? I guarantee you, 85 to 95% of people would not choose oil made from ExxonMobil, Chevron, and all of those companies. They would choose fuel made from the United States.
Yeah.
And that choice is actually available.
Sure. Well, let me ask Rebecca Harrell-Tickell about a couple of things in the film, just in the last minute or two here, that again show that there's real alternatives out there in the real world. And 60 Minutes just did a big piece on how Brazil is the new economy, the new emerging power, and we all know that China and Brazil have tremendous growth rates. One of the successes of Brazil is entirely to do with the fact that they don't have to buy oil, they don't have to run a current accounts deficit, and that they supply most of their automobiles with homemade ethanol made from sugar, which at the pump is half the price of gas. So there it is. Every time you pull up, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. I mean, what people forget is that we're spending over $1 billion a day importing foreign oil. And we could completely turn that around. We could be like Brazil. We could be an energy exporting country. What would that do for our economy? We wouldn't have to have these conversations in D.C. about increasing our debt ceiling. It would be a totally different conversation. And I think Josh is making an excellent point. You know, when you go to a gas pump, if you had a choice between the Midwest or even the Mideast, you know, like when you look at your food, for instance, it tells you where it comes from, what it consists of, but our fuel doesn't do that. And that's how we continue going on asleep. We go to the pump, we fill up our car with gasoline, we continue without any freedom, forgetting that we could completely transform this country right now today with a waste stream that we already have in existence, perfectly in harmony with the environment. And that's really the way to be sustainable, is to mimic Mother Nature. And that is available to us right now. But in order to get that, we have to stop pointing fingers and actually do something about it. And that's where we failed. You know, environmentalists, we are fickle. If we hear one tiny thing about something, we give up on it and we search for the next silver bullet solution. And we don't have to do that anymore.
Well, I thank you for your film, both of you, because it really does. And as I said at the beginning, I feel that I've been had, because they very successfully planted this idea that there was something wrong with ethanol, that there was more energy used to create it, which was a lie, and that it was crowding out food supply and driving up the price of food, which was another big lie. And you've traced the source of this lie. And my program, more often than not, deals with national security issues. And I know some of the people you interviewed, former CIA director and national security advisor Bud McFarland and Wes Clark, I've interviewed them all. And they, of course, make this strong national security argument that this is insane. You know, all this money's going out the door to people who want to kill us at any rate, and we could be creating jobs at home with this money. I mean,
there is no comparison. If you compare ethanol to petroleum, there is no comparison. And for anybody that's interested in finding out more about these myths that we're talking about, on the freedomfilm.com website, under Learn, you can find out all about these myths and all of the things that debunk them.
Well, I thank both of you for joining us here today, Rebecca Harrell-Tickell and Josh Tickell, producer and director of the new documentary, Freedom.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I'm Ian Masters. This has been Background Briefing. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. This program is available for podcasts, and you can sign up there at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another background briefing. Bye for now. And the things that he had seen.